What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Angler's Happy Hour podcast. Today, we talk about Rob's recent trip to the lake, and spoiler alert, he actually caught something this time. Our favorite fishing videos, and we had a chance to chat with the legendary Fat Cat Newton. Buckle up, guys. This one is a classic. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Angler's Happy Hour podcast. What's the good word, guys?
Yeah, just another day in paradise. Happy to be doing this with you guys. It's been a long stretch of this is the highlight of my week when we sit down and do this. So it's always good to see Rob's smiling face over there. Oh, he's not wearing an outdoor hat today. He's got Arizona State,
man. You know why?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you know why?
I mean, obviously, your daughter goes there and plays softball. And just Love you, Boyd. I'm totally kidding. No, what's up, man?
Not too much. Just ASU starts their season tonight.
Nice. Tell me he's pitching. Is he pitching the season opener?
No, he's pitching tomorrow night. Tight. So Saturday night guy. So, yeah, ooh, should be good. Should be fun.
Exciting.
Heck yeah.
Looking forward to
Dude,
it.
Dude, can you get me tickets?
No.
Can you give Josh tickets and then I'll buy them?
That was easy.
Yes.
No. That's hilarious.
Everyone can hear the love through these wires that we're talking into. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I would love to take my kids. I think they'd – whenever we go to a baseball game, like – they're vaguely interested. You know, we've gone to a handful of spring training games and a Diamondbacks game or two during the regular season. But really, all they want to do is eat. They're like, okay, I want popcorn, hot dogs. The Diamondbacks spring training has Cold Stone. So we hit that like three times. In nine innings, we've hit like 9,000 calories.
$350 later.
Oh,
seriously,
my God.
On that, yeah.
But it's funny.
No wonder you need free tickets.
Yeah. I might pay for them, but not much. No, it's funny because like, I'm a sports guy, but I don't really follow it as closely as I have at other times in my life. And then you get to the live event and like, I get so sucked in, like it's so fun. And I'm a believer in like buying good seats so you can really,
yeah,
you know, get the feel of it. And then they're just like wanting to do other things. I'm like, oh, like,
yeah, I'd rather watch from home on TV versus sitting in bad seats at a sporting event.
Dude, time I bought, like, the Diamondbacks will give tickets away practically if you want to sit in the nosebleeds for like, you know, the second third of the season when we were sucking or something. I mean, and we did that one time. You can't see
Brutal,
anything.
Huh?
So it's
you can't even smell the grass.
Dude. But that at that point, it's just the adventure, right?
Yeah, and with little kids, they're still having fun with that. But no, I think I've never been to a college baseball game, so I'd imagine the stadium's smaller, right?
Yeah, it's smaller. I think it holds maybe 6,000 people.
So that's cool. It's more intimate experience then, right? Like
definitely
you really see it,
you
hear
can
it.
Sit, you can sit right on. Yeah, you can sit right on the field almost.
I don't want to die. I don't want like a bat or a foul
ball
to take out.
Well, they've thank goodness they put up a net. That place was dangerous,
dude,
man, for years.
Nick and I watched something bad happen at a D-backs game.
Scary.
Dude. A bat got thrown on accident, slipped out of his hand, and hit a lady in the face.
It was not good. And she wasn't super close to us, but she also wasn't that far away from us. And it was, yeah, it put a dark note on the rest of the game because that lady got hit.
Yeah, about, I don't know, 5 years ago or so, we were at a youth travel ball tournament. And my son's team was in the championship game. It was at the Red Stadium in Goodyear. And he was pitching, and my wife's like, I want to sit down close, and let's sit right here. I don't want the net in our way. We sit down, and I'm like, I'd rather sit behind the net. She goes, no, I want to sit right here. Literally the first pitch of the game comes off the end of the kid's bat and hits the back of the chair next to me.
Oh,
I said, I'm moving. Yeah. She goes, me too.
Net looks real good.
Yes.
Dude.
Yeah. So I don't care. I don't care how young you are, how agile you are. You can't get out of the way.
Dude, who's getting out of the way of that, man? You're getting a facial is what you're going to get.
Because you're not – I mean, you can get out of the way if you're playing a position, if you're in the game. But, man, not everybody is 100% tuned in, especially today with phones, right? Everyone's looking at their phone.
Kidding.
And it's scary. So, anyhow, ASU, they put up nets, and some people are opposed to it. I'm 100% for it.
Yeah.
Keep people and kids safe.
Dude, if they didn't put up nets, they'd have to hand you helmets and face masks.
Yeah.
And like, that's more
cost-effective
option.
This is my busy time of year. We have baseball a lot, and guiding gets super busy.
It's gonna start ramping up, right?
And I was getting a little nervous up until this point. Fishing's been pretty tough this year. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, we've been sitting here complaining every podcast.
That's all we're doing. But, you know, Josh and I and Boyd went fishing New Year's Eve. That was probably one of the best wintertime bites we had. And we just kind of landed on them that day. It was fun.
Yeah, and then they were gone the next week.
Yeah, and just never found them again. And I have honestly struggled immensely on our local lakes. And just been a tough deal, but got up to Roosevelt on Monday, heard a bunch of good reports, and just didn't do very good again. So I was just definitely missing the boat on it, and got up there yesterday and absolutely crushed him. So I'm actually
a little he's confidence. Been smiling over there in the corner all morning.
Giggling.
This is why.
So it's just, I mean, I knew it was just a matter of time, but man, it gets to your ego a little bit. Like, especially when you're guiding and you, I mean, if it's just me fishing, even myself fishing in tournaments, it's up to me, man. But when I'm needing to guide people, I got to be on fish. So
yeah, well, it gets to you. You just described my entire fishing career, man, of sucking. It's like, it gets to you.
So dude, tell me about it. What was the bite like? What changed?
GPS coordinates.
I think the fish are just on the move. Maybe they got into my wheelhouse a little bit more. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I can catch them deep, but the fish are moved up shallow. Total pre-spawn bite. Nothing huge, just a lot of numbers, a lot of bites. Reaction baits, spinner baits, and swim jigs. And, I really don't think you can go wrong just getting up there and start fishing, you know, and cool. Fish shallow. And, you know, the thing about this time of year in my book is I can talk about what took place because I think they're going to change. Like in the spring, fish in my, and you know it too, how quick they move. I mean, they trigger, they go to the spot where they're pre-spawn, and then before you know it, they're spawn. They
move. It's amazing.
It's amazing how fast they go, you know. So you can really talk about what you're doing because if you're not there doing exactly the current what they're doing. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. But
yeah, you're not going to get jumped on your stuff because the fish have already moved on.
Exactly.
You know, by the time this podcast airs, they're moving on. Wow. Yeah. You can hear in the background there, they're still...
still working on the cabinets in
holy
there.
Holy smokes.
I think that was a fighter jet coming in on approach.
That actually caught me by surprise. Hopefully that ridiculous grinding sound doesn't last the entire episode. If it does, we apologize.
I think what he's doing is he's taking a chainsaw to your Elite Series victory trophy, and he's cutting it into small pieces while we record in your garage. He's like, damn, this guy still use hot dogs and water dogs.
Hilarious, man. Right on. Well, hey, I'm glad you caught some fish, Rob. We're going to continue. We're going to try to power through this, guys, because... Oh, there we go. It stopped, right? We're...
Oh, right? glad
you had a good day of fishing, man. You caught him spinner baiting?
Yeah, we did catch him spinner baiting. It's funny. I mean, I act like I set the world on fire by having one good day, but it just helps your ego a little bit when you got a bunch of trips coming up. So,
oh yeah.
You're just gonna be hauling people to Roosevelt most of the season, you think, guide wise?
I hope not. I mean, that's just hopefully we can fish our local lakes. One, they're a little more convenient for people to get to, and you know, just the wear and tear on stuff. But
you just need to get like a 17 passenger van, dude, and you could like turn it into an event.
Yeah, I mean, if we have
pontoon boat guiding,
yeah it's just nice knowing that you can catch them at Roosevelt, and these other lakes are going to come around soon. So
we've got, you know, we talk about, and it doesn't matter where you live in the country, there's always, we talked about this with Sean Coffey, there's always that one hard February front. Mm-hmm. And we just had it, and you know, on just trying to be positive here in the Southwest, it looks like you look at the 10-day forecast, you got 70 plus degrees every day.
Real stable warming trend.
The fish are starting to move, and the water's it's going from low to mid 50s to mid to upper 50s, and it is happening like right now. And the fish won't physically be spawning for a month, but it's not a winter bite right now. It's a pre-spawn bite.
They're thinking about it now, right?
For sure. And you're seeing this all around the country. Where I'm going next week, I'm going to Okeechobee. And that's prime,
it's post-spawn
too.
Now,
I mean,
right?
It's spawn. The water's cooled down enough for them to spawn. Seriously, and it's kind of weird how it goes like that. But the water's finally cooled down enough. And the moon, we had a full moon last week. And we'll have some spawning fish, I'm sure, where we're going. But...
you're definitely going to have to take, you know, Fat Cat's advice and use his pregnancy test to see if you're catching pre-spawn fish or not.
Did you see that one?
Have you seen that?
No.
Is that the most classic thing ever?
Here's the spoiler alert. Actually, it's not a spoiler. We talked about it in the intro, but we've got Fat Cat Newton as an interview today.
Dude, I can't stop thinking about that. That's genius.
He's
like,
the best.
It's the funniest thing ever.
So tell me more about this video, Rob.
Well, he's fishing with David Dudley, and he's got a little bag of goodies with his baits and stuff, his sunblock, and a pregnancy test in there.
Dude, that's how you dial in the bite, right?
Dudley's launching his boat, and he looks over at this bag. He's like, what is that? He's like, man, I just want to see these fish are pre-spawned or not. So,
so he'd catch one and he'd hold the pregnancy test.
Oh, man. If that guy was local, dude, I'd just follow him around and just like.
If he's local, I wouldn't have a spot on here. He'd have my spot on the podcast. Man. That guy's awesome.
He is the best. So we have a great time with him. And you know, leading into our interview with him, you know, Fat Cat Newton, he's really become famous in the fishing world over the last 5 or 6 years doing fishing YouTube videos. And they've gone, like, his videos have been featured on MTV, just everywhere imaginable, and just love watching them. But what are your favorite Fat Cat videos, and then what are some of your other favorite like clips or videos you guys have just seen online in general?
Dude, well, I think if it wasn't the very first thing I saw of old FCN, the Fat Cat, it was close to it. But that one where he's at the Classic, dude, and that reporter for Fox News comes up to him. Like, that is some of the funniest thing, like 2 minutes of a video I've ever seen. When he's just going 1,000 miles an hour, like, how can your brain spit that out? I mean, he's talking about winning
off
the cuff, dude, and in front of a TV camera, right? Like, when most of us would just like suck it up and not have anything to say, dude, he's talking about winning 2 classics, talking about not being able to compete because of the steroid scandal, and how he like keeps his body in shape. All the things he's got. I love it too. He's like, well, you know, the biggest muscle in your body is your brain. So every morning when I wake up, I think about doing 200 pushups.
Yeah, I guess I do 200 pushups in my mind.
In my mind. Like, I mean, that is when you've hit it, dude. Like, that video just kills me that you could deliver that. And the anchor, the reporter lady, she does a great job of keeping it going. And like, that was the first one I saw of him, I'm pretty sure. And it was good.
Yeah. Good.
What's cool
that.
Is I think we have a pretty cool real life interview with him. It's pretty interesting seeing both sides of his deal. So.
Yeah, dude, maybe he's bipolar or something. Or what's when you have multiple personalities, dude? Fat Cat, there's a man behind the Fat Cat that we get to see a little bit of, but he is.
We saw both. We saw Fat Cat, awesome. And then we saw the man behind Fat Cat.
Yep.
And cool. Both are very likable and enjoyable. I love that he pokes so much fun at swim bait fishermen too. As someone who really enjoys using big swim baits and watches some of that culture, like, talk about material. Oh man, skinny jeans and all that.
It's
skateboarding.
Just a different crowd, you know, and that's been all of us at some point, and we have so many friends that do that, and they're just so unique compared to a lot of what people visualize as a bass fisherman. It's right. Not what you see with the West Coast swim bait crowd.
Yeah, it's
is
own
it
little...
West Coast predominantly?
I think so, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where this
was
big,
born.
Okay,
maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I think that's where like a lot of it goes down. Guys do it around the country, but I think it's still more.
That's the
right
Mecca
here.
Type of thing. Right?
Yeah.
There's a guy, pretty funny too. We've watched a few of his videos in the fly fishing world, right? Hank Patterson. Have you guys ever seen any of his stuff?
Yep.
God,
he's great.
He's, we got to get him on too at a different time because he's funny too. But, you know, fishing just lends itself to so many humorous, you know, quality type things. Some of those Hank Patterson videos, he's fly fishing and he's like just bagging on conventional fishermen and bait fishermen, and that's a really fun and funny, you know, kind of rivalry that exists out there where it's like, you know, he says something like, you got your imported Coors Light, craft beer Budweiser, like it's just...
Favorite thing he's ever said that I've heard is when he said he's fly curious.
I think we've all been a little fly curious.
So funny.
We need it, man, because this sport can get a little technical at times, and it can get a little bit, you know, who doesn't love a good laugh?
It's cool to have people that keep it light.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
So going away from, like, the funny and light side, how about just crazy, like, cool fishing videos you guys have come across? There's a clip that I've seen over and over again, and a couple clips now of these gigantic catfish in like South America eating topwater baits close to the boat. Have you guys seen these?
Oh my gosh. Does it not give you chills, dude?
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. There's a couple where one time a guy's using like a prop bait and he like is literally 10 feet from a tree and he just makes like a little pitch out to this tree and he's got a big like wooden prop bait, like a flipping stick and braid, basically the equivalent of that. And he's pulling this bait. And then out from the tree, about a 5-foot long, some type of South American catfish dude comes out and it's up underneath this thing and the guy goes dzz, dzz, and it just goes crunch, like just snaps on it. And when he snaps on it, it sounds like someone breaking a wooden board over your knee.
It's like a karate dojo moment.
It's unbelievable.
Right?
And the it's just the line straightens out and the guy's just holding on for dear life. It is so cool. And there's a couple of them where those big cats just slowly swim out and just hop.
Dude, talk about an apex predator, right? Like, that's what's cool. When you see those big, nasty fish like that, like, they're not afraid of anything,
the
right?
King.
Like, they're looking at this thing, and they're like, what are you? Like, I don't really know what you are, but you're zero threat in your food, and it's over.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the boat is right there. The fish has never seen a boat before.
And that helps, too, right, for sure. I fell into a little stint here. Again, my brother, you know, being the fly fisherman, talked about, he sends me a lot of cool stuff to check out. And there's a magazine called Catch Magazine. Definitely check out some of their stuff on YouTube. Todd Moen is one of the big guys over there, and he's got tons of cool videos. But recently, I have been like just swallowed up in some of the trout fishing in Argentina. And so you have this environment where I don't know when brown and rainbow trout were introduced in Argentina. But it was a while back. And so some of these rivers don't have tons of just natural food in them. So the fish have adapted to where they live in the ocean, you know, their salt water for the majority of their life, but they come back to spawn in these rivers. And so they migrate like a steelhead or other types of salmon. So they get enormous out in the ocean and then they're swimming through these small rivers to spawn. And dude, they're like fishing on the moon. It's south Argentina. So you're only a couple hundred miles from Antarctica at this point. So there's like 60, 70 mile an hour winds. It's colder than a deep freezer. You know what I mean? And these guys are like, there's no vegetation taller than like 8 inches because it's just such an arid landscape. And dude, 15, 20, 25 pound brown trout eating things on the surface. I mean, you just got to watch it. The guy hooks up and this fish with shoulders, like just, it's like 2 feet wide. It looks like comes just cannonballing out of the, I mean, it's.
They, fish that have probably never seen an artificial, right? Or fly or whatever they're presenting. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's zero pressure. It's so remote, but that stuff gets me excited. I like that South American catfish too. It's like, it's cool when you go somewhere, just like you're freaking so far off the beaten path that you're going to get like yellow fever, but then you encounter that type of fishing. That's cool.
I need to work on my YouTube game, get out of the country a little bit.
Come on, Grandpa.
Watch some videos. Vandercoy.
Yeah, at least watch. Yeah,
he's like, what channel is that YouTube on?
A side note on this thing, and I love my dad to death, man. He's always like trying to, you know, help us come up with topics and stuff. And, you know, he's followed everything I've ever done in my life. You know, he's always been there, man.
Wonderful,
the most
guy.
Supportive dad. But the podcast thing, it's just not there for him yet. And like, I don't think my mom listens to all the episodes and it's great. And I'm really, you know, thankful that she does. My dad, I don't think he listens yet just because he can't get to it. You know,
my old man's the same way. God love him.
He goes the other day. I got an idea for your iPod.
The old iPod went extinct four product cycles ago for Apple too. What was his idea? Was it good?
This will be a good topic for us at some point. Things that like he had an annoying day at work, and he's like, so you guys are fishermen. He's like, you should talk about things that annoy you when you're fishing. And I was like, that's a great idea.
It is a great idea.
Yeah. So we'll come up with a little laundry
Josh
list.
Josh is like, I'm sitting to my right is the guy that annoys me during fishing. So that right there is like two episodes worth of material. And Rob is on the left for those who can't see us.
I'm annoying too, though.
Yeah. You buy burritos, so.
I do buy burritos,
right?
Yes.
I mean, that gives
as a matter
you some
of fact, we ate
points.
Some yesterday.
Oh, you suck.
See,
dang.
Dude, so 17-passenger van, you haul the clients up to Roosevelt, you stop at the burrito shop.
Yep.
You get them full. You get them passing a little gas in that van. Everyone
gotta
lightens
power
up.
Power it to the lake.
That's right. Dude, I'm telling you, that's destination worthy. Make a pamphlet, hand it out in South Scottsdale. We're good.
Right on. Okay, so, and one last... like channel I want you guys to all the listeners check out just because I think it's cool. Just talking about crazy like fish videos. Have you guys seen the fish? I think he's the Fish Whisperer on Instagram.
I don't know.
It's like a kid. He's probably maybe 20 now or something like that. But he's got some little pond that is just full of legit like 10-pound bass, 5 to 10-pound bass, and he feeds them.
Nice.
And he gets like bait fish and shad, and he'll feed them out of his hand. He'll dangle the shad in the water, and an 8-pounder will come up and eat it, and he'll grab the fish while he eats it. Like it's so cool, the videos this guy has. Like he's taken, I'm sure you've seen the videos, but he'll throw a shad in the water, and there'll be like out of nowhere, like 7 gigantic fish all fight over the shad at once and like bang off of each other and stuff. And then he catches these gigantic gar, alligator gar, you know, 7-foot long gar. And he's in the water with them and stuff. It's just gnarly.
Wow.
So Fish Whisperer on
Instagram.
Dude, I've
always thought,
check it out.
When I make my millions from this podcast, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have this like epic aquarium in my mansion. And I wanted to do that. Wouldn't it be sweet to have like the Cabela's or Bass Pro aquarium in your living room and do that type of thing where you could like just train them to eat? You wouldn't need TV. You wouldn't need a phone. You wouldn't need any other sorts of entertainment.
It'd be entertaining as heck.
Gosh,
it'd
be sweet. So help me make my millions, please.
Yeah, we're well on our way, obviously.
All $5 so far.
Right on. Okay, well, I think it's about time to roll over to Fat Cat. If you guys haven't heard of him, which I'm sure you pretty much all have, but check him out, Fat Cat Newton, on Instagram, Facebook, and most importantly, YouTube. He's got so many great videos. He is a heck of a character and a heck of a guy. Just for some of his accomplishments and what he's done, he has won 2 classics in the July of 87, according to him.
Hard to do.
Yeah, very hard to do. He's the only one. He's the owner of an Amish-made Japanese swim bait company.
That blew up.
For sure. He's also the best fisherman he's ever met, so hopefully you guys enjoy.
Dude, you look great.
You do.
I combed my hair today.
We were going on video. Okay, so we're live now, but we got Mark Daniels on a little while ago, and Nick wore his suit, dude. We were giving him a hard time.
Bro,
he thought it was a video, dude.
Yes, man. You know what they say.
So what's going on with you, man?
Well, I've just been chilling, man. Been wall-to-wall, treetop tall, bebopping and flip-flopping, and getting ready for 2020, man, and to fire this YouTube thing back up again. Everybody's been beating the door down. Where's your YouTube videos? Where's your YouTube videos? So yeah. We're probably going to fire that back up, man, see what happens.
We've been saying the same thing. We love them. You've been doing a lot of shows, right? I mean, watching your Instagram, you're at shows like every week.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I have been. I've been doing a lot of shows. It's weird, man. I started out making stupid videos, just dumb, stupid videos, and now people have me come out to these expos and hang out. It's just weird, man. It's weird, dude.
Proof America is the best country. That's how.
Yeah, it's yeah, no doubt about that.
Stupid videos.
Yeah.
How long you been at it, Becca?
March will be 6 years.
Nice.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I'm sitting right here beside where I made my first stupid video, and it's just weird, man. Just how social media and fishing, I don't know, dude, just making fun of some dudes. I remember like one of the first videos I was making, the first year. Like, I would just go hard. I was talking about Tommy Biffle's short shorts, how Aaron Martin wearing yoga pants, and how his pants were so tight you could count the change in his pocket. Talking about everybody wearing flat brims and making fun of everybody. It seems like the more fun I made of people, the better things got. So I want to kind of get back into making fun of people. Not that I quit, but you know what I mean.
That's what's funny, man. That's what's funny.
You got 3 targets right here, so have at it.
It's way too easy, bro. What are you doing, man? You just give up and shave it already. But yeah.
Hey, man, you got to comb it over.
Yeah. Whatever works, homie. We all see what's really going on, though. All right.
It's hilarious. Okay, so what's your fishing background? How long have you been fishing? Were you fishing tournaments? You know, how long before the videos were you
in? I grew up on the water, like right where I'm at my house. I'm about 2 miles from the Potomac River. So basically grew up on the Potomac. We grew up, you know, tight lining, bobber fishing, catching whatever we caught. Because back in the day, fishing with my dad and everybody. We brought everything to the house. We didn't catch and release in hot grease. You know what I mean?
In hot grease.
Then probably around, I don't know, man, 2000, oh, sheesh, I don't know. Started tournament fishing in 06 with my buddy Mella Yellow. We started doing a electric motor only club, which if anybody's looking to get into fishing, dude, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, whatever the situation is, if you can find a club around the neighborhood that is electric motor only, that is the best way to become a better fisherman, because there's no 30, 40, 50 mile run. You're forced to fish behind the dudes that you're fishing with. It just does nothing but make you a better fisherman. But I started fishing those in 06. And then I fished some open, some Everstart, some Rayovacs. I'm the 70th place. You know what I mean? Like the whole fat cat deal, man, that the character, he's the best fisherman he ever met. But like, I suck. I love fishing, but I've never, you know, I've never been that dude that went out there and lit it on fire, but I've always had a passion for fishing and just got lucky making some videos, and it's evolved into what it has.
Interesting. Right on. That's cool. And you still fish now, right? Like, well, do you have less time to actually fish now that you've got all this going on?
Yeah, man. It's crazy. I don't fish as much, nowhere near as much as what I used to, just because of I was working a lot and then traveling, but I quit my job December to try to take 2020 and do Fat Cat full time.
Congrats.
Take a chance, man. You know what I mean? Take a risk and see what happens. But yeah, we're going to do a lot of fishing this year, man. We're going to do more fishing this year than we probably have the past four or five combined. That's the goal.
Cool. And well, yeah. And that gives you material and ideas too. And
yeah, dude, it's hard because I feel like I hit like a writer's block per se. Like I haven't been fishing at all, and all my content basically revolves around fishing. You know, the Tommy Biffle jokes and the Aaron Martin jokes, they wear out after a while. And then, yeah, dude, have to get back on the water, create more content. And, yeah, dude, at the end of the day, it's all about fishing.
Dude, don't worry, man. I'm sure that coronavirus is impacting the Japanese Amish import, right? That's part of the problem. You can't get new baits.
It is, man. It's huge what's going on. They're starting to counter it with lime. But they're putting lime scent on the swim baits, which is countering the coronavirus.
Smart. Some salt.
Yeah, some salt. Yeah, the whole tariff thing has got the Amish Japanese swim bait thing messed up. You know what I mean?
Doesn't work, man.
How stupid. Just think about the concept of that. How dumb is it that I made this thing up about having Amish-made swim baits from Japan, and now, like, every show I go to, people are talking about swim baits from Japan. It's just there's Amish people. There's Amish people in Japan. No, that's Bobby.
Started, right? I think the Amish community was originally from Okinawa, and then they sailed over to Pennsylvania. It was a long journey.
Yeah, it was bless their hearts. I remember reading about that.
Yeah, true grit, for sure.
True grit.
Dude, it kills me. I love it.
Right on. Okay, so as far as, like, anglers that are from the same area as you, I know a couple of them, you know, pretty well, Poroznik, Dudley. Have you fished with those guys much? Do you go back with those guys?
So, dude, to be honest, man, I was nobody. I still am nobody around the neighborhood. But since I started, like, Dudley's come to the house, stayed a few days. We went fishing the Potomac. Poroznik and I haven't had a chance to get together. Me and Cruz, we fished.
Yep.
It's weird, man. It's just I'm a fanboy, dude. I'm still like when I go to the events, I'll work the Bassmaster Classic and I'll work these different shows. But at the Classic, I don't care what I'm doing. I'm going to the weigh-in. So many dudes in the business, especially when you're there working a booth, setting things up. So many guys couldn't care less about the weigh-in. But like, yeah, dude, I'm going to the weigh because I'm still a fan. So rubbing elbows with Dudley and Cruz and Poroznik, it's crazy because they're all, you know, major contenders in the sport. And it's just, I don't know, the all guys that I've watched on TV and now I'm buddy-buddy with. It's weird.
It's mutual, though, dude, because you give those guys so much entertainment. And it's you know, I'm sure they feel exactly the same way. I know I do, for sure.
Yeah, man. It's cool.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So out of all the videos that you've done, are there a couple that stand out that were like the most fun to create and put together?
Dude. Yeah. The first one that really blew up was the one was right here. The shotgun in the house. I'm probably going to touch back on that this year because the shotgun of the house, man, that was the third shot in the house because it was all staged. Yeah. I don't want to tell kids what to do to get around it, but yeah, I took all the lead out of the shotgun shell, put salt in there, and I took three balloons and I put powder, paper towel, and BBs in each balloon. Okay. And then I thumbtacked it to the ceiling. Then I took some kindling, like some paint stirrer kindling, put that on top of the balloons. So when I pulled the trigger the first two times, the shotgun shell wasn't packed full enough of salt. Third time, I made sure I got it in there good. Hey, so it's funny because my brother, my sister-in-law, my whole family was here at the house because we have get-togethers here. I said, man, y'all hang out outside for a while. If you hear any noise inside, don't worry about it. My sister-in-law actually helped me with the balloons. Anyways, first two were pap, pap. Then the third was woo-woo. And then when you watch the video, man, you'll hear after the shot goes off in the house, you hear click, click, click. It's my dog walking in the hardwood floor. And he just looks at the stuff on the floor. He looks up at the ceiling, looks back at me like in pure disgust. But he made the video, man. That was my first video of like, oh, my God, this – We might be able to do something with this because it just went.
What a great feeling that probably was too, right? When you know you made something good and then you get rewarded for it.
No, it wasn't a good feeling. No, because all the attention I was receiving at that point in time was hate because everybody, you know, I was the reason they were taking our guns away. People didn't realize that it was all a skit and it was a parody on everybody out there that actually is a numbskull when it comes to guns. So like part of me is like, man, maybe I should have been more transparent that it was all a joke. And then on the other hand, I was like, dang, I really made that believable. Maybe I should roll that into more stuff that's unbelievable. So if people knew where I lived, they probably would have burnt my house down for the first 2 months of that video.
That's crazy, wow. Man. I didn't even think about that.
Dude, I received hate comments from all over the world. Literally, though, you can go back to that video on my YouTube channel and read the comments. Dude, they were from even on the Facebook, I don't know, man, you're probably talking about between 10 and 15 million views. It's hard to track because what happens is
hopefully he comes back.
Yeah.
We lost you there.
We lost you for a quick second.
Yeah, Bobby came in. He was calling me trying to get some Vienna sausages, but yeah, dude, I forget what I was talking about with the video. It just
Facebook had some hate coming your way though.
Yeah,
that's it. Facebook had some hate coming your way though.
Yeah. It blew. But no, what I was gonna say with that, when you do like a big video that's crazy like that, people just rip it off your channel. So people would download it, then upload it, and not give me credit. And so then I would get tagged in all these other posts all over the place. That was the first video that was well over 10 million views.
No kidding.
Well over, dude. Beyond, yeah, probably close to 20 now. Yeah.
Okay, so your music video, was that right up there too? Your music video, was that?
On, let's see. I personally have about 5 million views on that for Facebook. It's probably 500,000 on YouTube. Then the guy I partnered up with, High Speed Chase, he's got a bunch of views on it too because we collaborated on it. We posted it on mine first and then posted it on his. But that one's – I don't think that one's quite at 10 million views, but it's way up there. I know in downloads, just music alone, it's crazy, man. That I never thought doing a music parody would take off like that one did, but it's crazy.
It's interesting. I actually heard yours before I heard the original.
That's crazy, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Who ripped off who then, right? Freaking Lil Nas X. Right?
Nas X and Billy Ray Virus.
That's great. We'll leave this one pretty open-ended for you, man. But one thing we like to talk about is just, you know, crazy experiences on the water, either like traveling to a lake, when you're actually out on the lake. But do you have like any just wild fishing stories that unrelated to your videos, but just crazy experiences on the water that come off the top of your head? We didn't give you any warning on this, so no worries if you don't.
No, dude. I've definitely tore stuff up on the water. We've had, grew up on the water. So There's been times where we were on like a little 16-foot aluminum boat with a 40-horsepower tiller motor. And me and my cousin were on the boat. My dad was driving it. And dad had his shades on. Dad always wore these like old Oakley sunglasses, like the razors and stuff. My dad used to like to party a little bit. So we're going across the lake, dude, early in the morning halfway. And there's a little island. It's like this is a teeny island on Lake Anna. And we're like, hey, Pops, man, they stop messing around. You're going right towards a small island. And the island is, dude, I don't know. It's the size of a house, per se. One tree on it. We hit the only tree on the island. we're probably doing like, I don't barely on pad on an aluminum boat. But yeah, dude, threw us out. We've had times where we've, gosh, man, I don't even know where to start. We've been stuck out on the water. We've sunk boats on the water. Like one time on Aquia, me and the boys back in the day, I don't think we were 21 yet. We like to party. And we'd found this old Bayliner for like $500. The boat was trash. But it ran, dude. And my two buddies that bought it, spray nine 69 boys on the back of the boat. So there's this one ramp in a quiet creek. It's called Willow Landing Marina. It's a little bit further in than Hope Springs Marina. Anyways, it's a real shallow flat where you dump out, and tide was out. So the dudes, they backed all the way down the ramp. Well, they backed all the way down the ramp on low tide. Dude, the trailer falls off the slab, right? So as you back off, boom. Well, the boat just comes on off. Well, when Bobby tries to pull up, whoa, wouldn't go because the axle fell off the slab, right? You feel me?
The trailer at this point, or is the boat still on the trailer?
It came off, right? So he had backed up, brought up. Once the trailer dropped off the slab, it gave it enough depth. Boat's gone. We're good. Well, Bobby locks the hubs, dumps the clutch. Woo-woo! Pow! Hey, drags the trailer out. No axle. Yeah, dude. That was Kevin Fines and James Poole, the 69 boys. Yeah, but we've tore some stuff out there, dude. I could probably, if I sat and thought about it, I could come up with some even stupider stories, man. But yeah, that's me and the fellas, yeah, tearing stuff up.
Dude, I got a question. I love, one of my favorite videos is that one where the news reporter hits you up at the Classic. Did that happen organically? Because that is like cinematic brilliance.
Hey, well, I appreciate you, Bobby. It was brilliance.
Real.
So the deal was, we're at the ramp. This is a Hartwell a couple of years ago at the Classic, and we're at the ramp, and I notice her talking to other people, and then she's done. She's like, we got to find one more person. So when I hear that, it's a group of us talking. So I position myself towards her. And she comes up, excuse me, guys. I got you.
Yeah, I am.
So, dude, and she was awesome because she just kept throwing me softballs. You know what I mean? Like, she fed the beast. And I'm still to this day waiting for her to slide in my DMs because I know she was smitten.
He's been you could see in her eyes, dude. You could see in her eyes when she was interviewing you.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are still, even though when they see me, they can't believe a guy is this big and looks this good. You know what I mean? But old girl, boy, she was, hey, how you doing?
You doing?
See, I was ready to butter her biscuit, but she wasn't having enough of it.
Dude, that was such a good interview. I remember it coming out, and I've probably seen it 10 times.
Oh, I've watched it a ton of times. It's hilarious.
No, I appreciate y'all watching it, dude. That was the video that a lot of the dudes had already knew who I was, but it spread like wildfire around the Classic. So dudes that were in the business that I admired, you know, that I wanted to know that I didn't know, after that video, they kind of, because people always, at first, people were skittish of me because they thought that I was just going to be malicious. I think, I don't know, it was a weird vibe at first getting into this. People had their guard up around me, but that interview kind of, it opened up more doors, I guess you would say. People put their guard down around me a little bit. It helped, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah, and you've built up so much. I mean, you've been around so long, you've built up trust now. I don't think anyone would feel that way now.
No, yeah, I think these days, there's still a few out there that don't engage, which, dude, it's cool, man.
They have no sense of humor then.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they just don't know how to take me. They don't know me. And that's, you know, how we are. And sometimes you have your guard up until you actually meet the person. No, because the videos is Fat Cat. And, you know, it's a character, but I still have a lot of Fat Cat in me. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I don't hate on them. As long as they don't talk trash about me for no reason, it's all good. But if they talk trash about me, then they better buckle up because it's go time.
Bro, high kick.
Yeah, high kick. High kick, yeah. I'll put a high kick up on a heartbeat. High kick and boom goes the dynamite. So weird that stuff is. It's weird, man. The whole thing's Fat Cat thing is weird. Like how it grew legs and took off. The high kicks, the bobbies, the bobbies. Yeah, dude, Bobby. Like watching Swindle drive down the road on a live feed after a classic, hollering Bobby. It's
like, dude, you've arrived. When that happens, man, you know it's like you leave.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, man. It's cool, man. It's definitely, I definitely appreciate every moment of it, for sure.
Word.
Everything I put out, man, is family friendly for the most part. I try to, sometimes I push the envelope, but like for the most part, man, when I started doing this, I've got a little teeny niece at the time, a nephew, then an older niece. And I always wanted them to be able to watch whatever I did, right?
Yeah.
So I've always kept everything family friendly, which I think has helped. And maybe like far as I could have gotten crazier and maybe gotten more exposure, but it's not the exposure that I really want. You know what I mean? Because I plan on turning this into something, and it's easier to market things to corporations when I'm not talking about things that I might talk about with my friends. You know what I mean?
I'm just picturing your niece and nephew's face when they saw your underwear choice in a few of those videos. They probably were like, interesting.
We're going to retire the thong, I think. And the crazy, that thing wasn't even needed. I figured, man, like, I want to put this video over the top. And I didn't even need the thong to go over the top. Like, whenever they put that video on Ridiculousness, they didn't even show the thong. I tried to post it with the thong on other formats, and they were like, no thong, fat boy.
But, yeah, rest in peace to the thong.
Yeah, RIP to the thong. Believe me, it's not a good thing. After me wearing it a couple of times, that mug is stretched.
Yeah, more of a budget cord at this point, probably, right?
And it smells like deer guts and cabbage, too. You don't want to burn it.
We deal with the same thing with this podcast, man, because, Rob and I have been in the fishing industry for a long time, and Nick has for a little while, but Nick has got that extra element to him that Rob and I don't have, and he could take this to the next level easily, but we have to reel him in because it's the fishing industry is what it is. And done a good job of playing on our level, but he could easily take it to the next level.
I don't know what level that'd be. It'd be a bad level. No one needs to go there.
Oh, dude, I'm with you. I could definitely take it to that level too. And sometimes I probably have 10, maybe more terabytes of, I keep all my footage, right? I don't delete anything. And if you went through there and saw some of the stuff that didn't make it, we could make some Andrew Dice Clay, we could make some stuff, but we're not going to.
Good. Right on. Right on.
We got to cover the classic in the July of 87, two of them.
Dude, so weird.
Was it the Amish swim bait that came into play?
The Amish made swim bait from Japan won both Bassmaster Classics in 87. So Wikipedia, right? I had a fan DM me some stuff. It was the Bassmaster Classic winners on Wikipedia. Dude, he altered Wikipedia to where I won the classic in 87.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude, I don't think George Cochran is too happy about it. Yeah, but anyways, it's crazy. Yeah, 87, man, two Bassmaster Classics. It's funny talking to people and they hear me say that. I hear somebody else say, yeah, you won two classics in 87. And they're like, wait, what? What? You know, first of all, how old are you? And then first of all, two in 87? But it's for guys like us that are into fishing, man, we get it. It's just like, what the hell is he talking about? But yeah, that's
also.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You said you were you have a hard time coming up with content and stuff, and you talk about Aaron Martins. Aaron Martins is a lifetime of content, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, man. But I try to be careful and harp it on guys. I don't want nobody to be my punching bag, because I could have fun with Martins. I could have fun with a lot of guys, and I will this year. You're going to see more of that coming this year. But
people enjoy that, though.
I like doing it with the guys that give it back. You know what I mean? And Martins isn't really one of those guys.
He's such a nice guy. Yeah.
Dude, exactly. Yeah. I'd rather give it to Dudley or Watson or Swindle or even somebody to make it, like, there are guys I want to get on the boat. Like, I would love to get Lefebvre on the boat and really open Lefebvre up and ask him questions, just because, you know, we have guys that are professional anglers that have different reputations for, you know, I would love to get some of the guys in the water and maybe give them a platform to explain to people who they are, or maybe address the misconception of how they're perceived through the public's eye. Because yep. We all know, like, you know, you got your Iaconelli, your Lefebvre's, your Ishmael Rose. I'm not talking trash about any of those guys, but they all have reputations that are – I would just like to give them a chance to open them up and get them laughing in front of people, because I don't think people see him cutting. Well, they see Iaconelli, but I don't know if you guys know what I'm getting at or not. But
And hey, man, a tournament scenario, there's a lot of pressure, and you know, people are. I know a lot of the guys I fish with are very different in the boat in a tournament than they are as soon as the tournament's over.
Absolutely.
And that's what people see, right? So they see the tournament because they're watching it on TV or they're watching live. And, they don't see the other side to these guys who, you know, a lot of them, they're all the same, right? We all started fishing in bass clubs and, you know, giving each other a hard time. And it's no different, you know, on Major League Fishing or Elite Series or FLW, it's all the same.
Yeah, dude. And I also think once, and I don't want to blame it on the press or media, but like once you kind of get classified as a certain type of person, then they kind of you get locked into that category. People just tend to run with that, things of that nature, because like Lefebvre is a weird dude from what I understand and talking to people. And I know he's a fan of mine. He's actually reached out, and like I wouldn't mind getting out fishing with him, but he's just a strange dude. It's just like
he's really into music, and he's definitely different. But it's the same thing. Great heart, great guy.
I definitely want to. Yeah, dude. And my goal is kind of this year, and maybe this year leading to 2021, I want to do different things as far as – like my goal at the end of the day is to have a TV show. I mean, YouTube's where it's at. TV's dying and YouTube to fire it up. But even if it's on some sort of a show on the internet, whatever. But I just want to get out there with dudes like yourself and other people. Like Zona does a great job at it, man. What Zona does with different dudes – I enjoy Zona's show because he takes you guys out and you can see a different part because there's no pressure. You're not fishing for 100,000. You don't have the weight of all your sponsors on your back and all this crap. You get to get out there and just hang loose. And I like creating that type of environment for guys that are always under pressure.
And that's kind of our vision with this podcast too, man, is that it's like, that's why we didn't want to just bog it down with technical tips and stuff like that. It's like, dude, tell us about the time that your VRBO was full of bed bugs, or the time when you got food poisoning from a greasy spoon. You know what I mean? Like, that's the exciting stuff.
Is it really exciting? What are you doing with your life?
Extra level that I'm talking about with Nick, man.
We just stayed in a trash box in Martinsville, dude. Watson was the first one to check in, and I checked in later. Martinsville, Virginia, and this place, dude, my Instagram story, it was terrible. Like, I recognized the place from, like, First 48, from, like, Current Affair, Unsolved Mysteries. They had taken the carpet up and left the hard floor because they got tired of cleaning up bodily fluids out of carpet. And they, dude, it was straight just funk. It was
a hotel or a house?
It was a hotel. I don't know. It was not one to Comfort Inn. I don't know, dude. It was just trash. It wasn't good. Matter of fact, Jake Whitaker found a bug on his pillow and went to another hotel. Nope. This was like 4 weeks ago. Yeah, dude, it was trash.
Here's one tip if you ever stay in another one. And this came from the podcast. This came from Mark Daniels Jr. He specialized in bugs. It was his job before he got into fishing. And he told us, if you're ever worried about bed bugs, you can go to your mattress and look at the seams, because they're not going to be on the sheets because they're attracted to heat. So they kind of hide in the seams of the mattress, but also the electrical sockets. Go look at the electrical sockets. And if you have little black dots on the electrical sockets, that's fecal matter from bed bugs.
Dude.
Hotel, if you see that.
MDJ, I remember watching him on Short Circuit for FLW talking about the job he quit to go fishing full time.
That's the job. People bring bed bugs to him. He'd be like, that's a bed bug.
He's a top-notch dude, too, man. MDJ is, yeah. That's cool. That's good. You guys taught me something, which is weird.
You owe us.
Well, dude, hey, it's been awesome. Anything else you guys have for him, or anything else you've got, Fat Cat, before we let you go?
No, man, I just want to say I appreciate you guys, man. Let me come on the podcast. It was cool. It's always weird coming on podcasts for me because, to be honest, like, I don't know whether I'm supposed to be full Fat Cat, like, boom, goes a dynamite, hot kick. You know, I never know what people want from me in podcasts. And this has been one of the better podcast experiences of late. Awesome experience, man. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast. And good luck this year, Bertrand. I'll be watching you, buddy.
I need it, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks very much.
Dude. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace. See ya.
I don't know how to.
Wow, what a guy. Thanks so much to Fat Cat for joining us today. Also, a huge thanks to the listeners. We're loving the constant support you all give the show. Keep sending us your feedback, picks, and most of all, keep sharing the podcast with your friends, and we'll chat with you all next week.